This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
All the way from USA to take part in the conference that is going to take place tomorrow in Halifax, inshallah, under the management of Markazi Jamiyat al-Hadith, inshallah al-Aziz. And then after the conference, Sheikh will have the tour in various masajid throughout the UK, inshallah al-Aziz. Sheikh Hafidhullah is originally from Egypt, and he is one of the prominent students of Sheikh Abu Ishaq al-Huwaini Hafidhullah. Sheikh is based currently in USA, and Sheikh specializes in tafsir and aqidah, and she has published some books, and one of the recent books that he has recently published, Roadmap to the Twins, and that is a book through which Sheikh has gone over the weekend, actually starting the course yesterday and completed today, alhamdulillah. We hope we can benefit from the presence of Sheikh Hafidhullah. And as you have heard the announcement that the theme of this month is going through the common mistakes in worship. And today is the first lecture of the series of lecture of this month. And the Sheikh's lecture will be on the common mistakes in tahara, in purification. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Hidul Jalal Ikram gives us tawfiq and ability to benefit from the knowledge of the Sheikh Hafidhullah. And now I request the Sheikh to begin this lecture. Jazakumullah khair.
Alhamdulillah. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. Wa ashadu an la ilaha illallah. وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمداً عبده ورسوله اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وعلى من اتبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. First of all, I just want to disclaim the word scholar. I'm not a scholar. Yani with all, yani I love you, Qari Zakaullah, but I'm not a scholar. I'm a student of knowledge, and I'm seeking knowledge, inshallah. But I would, omit this piece there, inshallah. Talking about tahara, the word tahara means purification. And normally when the word is mentioned, we turn it into an exclusive physical tahara, although the spiritual tahara is extremely important, which is the tahara of the center, the focal point between you and divine, the limb, the qalb. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned في حديث النعمان بن بشير رضي الله عنهما الحلال بين والحرام بين وفي آخره ألا إن في الجسد مضغة إذا صلحت صلح سائر الجسد وإذا فسدت فسد سائر الجسد. Indeed, in your heart, in your body, there is a limb, which is the heart, in reference to the heart. If it is sound, the rest of the body will be sound. And if it is corrupt, the rest of the body will be corrupted as well. So when we address the subject of tahara, brothers and sisters in Islam, we have to include that part, because this is the place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at us. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما أخرج الإمام مسلم إن الله لا ينظر إلى صوركم وأجسامكم ولكن ينظر إلى قلوبكم وأعمالكم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at your figures nor how you look, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at this heart. And you may find some disconnect between you and divine, between you and the guidance being affected by the recitation of the Quran, there is some defect in that medium, and that's why you have to purify it. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that the reason why our hearts sometimes need some, refining, some fixing, because of the sins. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أذنب العبد ذنبا نكت في قلبه نكتة سوداء. Whenever you commit a sin, a dark stain is placed on the outer surface of the heart. And if you do not come back, if you do not ask for forgiveness, that sin will stay there. And guess what? If you do another one, another stain will be added, and that would turn into, as mentioned in the Quran, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. It would turn into ran, and here is the risk of that, that ran could turn into a seal. That the heart is sealed, no more. Nothing goes in, nothing goes out. And that's the danger of that, brothers and sisters in Islam. But I understand the essence of the lecture series that your masjid is trying to, is to correct our ibadah. And allow me today to address a legal maxim. They call it qa'ida fiqhiyya. The scholars of this ummah, they are trying to make the religion as easy as possible on brothers and sisters who would have a hard time comprehending, complicated stuff like usul al-fiqh and all of that. So they came up with something, they call it legal maxims, qawa'id fiqhiyya kulliyya, a statement which would cover so many things under it. The qaida, the legal maxim, which I would like to share with you today, which is relevant to our subject, and I'm going to articulate it in Arabic first, then I will say the meanings in English, and I hope you can memorize it in Arabic. Al-aslu fil ibadati al-hadru illa bidalil wal-aslu في العادة الإباحة إلا بدليل. Anyone memorize that? No? One more time. الأصل في العبادة الحذر إلا بدليل. That's one section. والأصل في العادة الإباحة إلا بدليل. The default rule, when I say al-asl, the default, the basic rule. All acts of worship are banned unless you provide an evidence to do it. So for you to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, show me evidence. Why? طيب. On the other hand, customs, habits, eating, drinking, sleeping, whatever it is permissible. Unless there is a dalil to ban it, to make it forbidden. That is the legal maxim that I want to address. طيب, where is the base or the foundation? Where did the scholars found this particular legal maxim on? There must be evidence. Yes, Hadith Aisha radiyallahu anha, the mother of the believers, our mother Aisha radiyallahu anha, and the Hadith in al-Bukhari wa Muslim, qala sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, man ahdatha fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu fahuwa rad. Whoever introduces something into this religion which the Prophet ﷺ never sanctioned, never legislated, it's rejected. It's not going to be accepted. Good luck with that. There is a wording, the hadith in al-Bukhari wa Muslim. This is the wording of al-Bukhari. The wording of al-Imam Muslim, من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد. If you act, if you do something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not do, it's not going to be accepted. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. You're putting a lot of efforts for something that will not be rewarded. Why are we saying this? Because acts of worship in Islam, توقيفي العبادات في الإسلام توقيفية. Acts of worship, rituals in Islam are توقيفي. What is توقيفي means? Before you do it, stop. What is the evidence and how it's done? صلاة. قال صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم صلوا كما رأيتموني أصلي. Pray as you have seen me pray. Obviously, we have not seen the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم physically praying, but his companions transmitted that information to us in details. The famous book of Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, he based his book in this beautiful hadith, where he compiled all the pieces of evidence which validate every posture, every move in the salah. What to do when you stand up, where is the hand should go, how to bow down, the sifat al-ruku', sifat al-sujood, everything. طيب, the wudu, hadith Uthman ibn Affan, رضي الله عنه, Imran, he called upon water and he made wudu in a certain way. And then Uthman radiallahu anhu said to the people around him, the Prophet did the same thing. Then he said what? مَنْ تَوَضَّأَ نَحْوَ وُضُوءِ هَذَا. Whoever makes wudu exactly like نحو means what? Close, because exactly could be a little bit hard to achieve here. And we have hadith al-Hajj, hadith Jabir, Sahih Imam Muslim. خذوا عني, what? مناسككم. Learn the rituals from me. Learn the rituals from me. When we talk about mistakes in these acts of worship, these mistakes, by the way, can be elevated to shirk. How? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Shura, and please correct me if I mess up with the verse, أَمْ لَهُمْ شُرَكَاءُ شَرَعُوا لَهُمْ مِنَ الدِّينِ مَا لَمْ يَأْذَنْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. Do you have partners who legislated from the religion something that Allah did not legislate? But sometimes, actually, certain beliefs regarding certain innovations in Islam can be elevated to that. When you follow a sheikh or you follow some human being who would say, okay, I want you to do 40 days that, do 50 days that, and do that. Who legislated this for you? Who legislated this for you? Brothers and sisters in Islam, when we say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, what this can be translated to? لا معبود بحق إلا الله. No one has the right to be worshipped except who? Why? His Lordship. He created, he provides. طيب. When I say وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله, what I'm trying to say too? What? لا متبوع بحق إلا رسول الله. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No one is entitled to being followed strictly except who? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have to clear this from And, you know, a scary statement of Imam Malik. And Imam Malik made that statement commenting on the verse, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received this verse on the day of Arafah, Imam Malik commented on this. He said, that means whoever introduces anything into this religion and he admires it, look at this, فَقَدْ زَعَمَا أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا قَدْ خَانَ الرِّسَالَةِ. شوف, you're making a claim that Muhammad betrayed his risala, his message. Because you're adding something, you're basically saying the Prophet forgot to add that. So that's how serious this matter is. فالعبادات يا إخوة في الإسلام, عبادات in Islam, has to be subjected to evidence. Why are we saying that? Because sometimes people who introduce innovations into the religion of Islam, when you talk to them, try to stop them kindly, nicely, hikmah, maw'idha hasana, we try all of that. The first thing that they tell you, what is the evidence that I cannot do that? That's the one thing that they ask you. They ask you for what? For evidence. Take, for example, the famous Mawlid thing that we come across every year. So when you tell them, you know, brother, this was introduced later on at the hands of the Shi'i Muslims, yani. Don't do it, please. Huh? What is the evidence I cannot use it? How do you respond to that? Who is supposed to furnish the evidence based on that rule? Who? You're supposed to provide the evidence that you can use that, that you can do that, not me. Please, listen, if you're doing this, worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that means you have to have an evidence. Evidence that means قال الله, قال رسول الله, or the Sahaba did it, the companions did it. There is nothing, there is none. So how do you validate that? Oh, we love Rasulullah. Yeah, we love him too. But, you know, if you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, follow Rasulullah. And if you love Rasulullah, follow him. الحب للتباع. الحب is adherence. It is necessary to begin this beautiful series, which I'm sure Hafiz Qari' Zakaullah and the rest of the team will bring you a variety of speakers to talk about the subject, is to understand that acts of worship in Islam are not subject to hawa, are not subject to istihsan, are not subject, I feel like doing it. I feel like doing it. Like, you know, subhanAllah, the other day I was in Egypt and I was leading the salah, and right after the salah, the brother who's praying in front of me, he went down in sajda, a prolonged sajda, and then he stood up, yani he sat down. So I thought, mashallah, you're reciting Quran after the salah, sajda tilawa. I knew what he's doing, so, you know, but I'm acting up like, so as if, I thought we do the adhkar after the salah, yani, but you're reciting Quran and you came across sajda. No, I'm making dua. Making dua? Yeah. What's wrong with that? He said, what's wrong with that? Because there is nothing to validate that. Well, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, didn't he say, أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ لِرَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ فِي الصَّلَاةِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ. The closest a Muslim can be to Allah in salah is when? When? In sujood. So I'm trying to make sujood so I can make dua. I said, this is in the salah. But never the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went into sujood to make dua. Where are you getting this from? Yeah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went into sujood because of tilawa, or went into sujood because of shukr. We know that. But not to make dua. Yeah, you may make dua during the salah when you're making sujood. That is something that you can. Shahid is you cannot, because a lot of Muslims, unfortunately, this sounds like a good thing. You know, this is a good. No. If the religion, if we're going to take that path, then misguidance. The entire religion will be simply threatened by basically being manipulated. طيب, in order to get to the essence of the subject, so at least I contributed to the mistakes in the Tahara, allow me to go over the bathroom. Hadith Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, والحديث أخرجه الإمام البخاري. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم, one day he was riding his mule. I think if it's a mule or a camel, I can't remember, but he was riding something. And by all of a sudden, whatever he was riding started what? Acting funny, to the extent that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was about to be thrown, fall down from the top of whatever he was riding. Then immediately, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam pointed to two graves. Those individuals who are buried in this two graves, they are being punished now. إِنَّهُمَا لَيُعَذَّبَانِ وَمَا يُعَذَّبَانِ فِي كَبِيرٍ. الخطابي, الإمام الخطابي said, they thought this is not much. They are being punished right now, and this is why my animal, my whatever I'm riding, acted this way, reacted in this manner. They are being punished, and they are being punished over something that they belittled. That's what means. They didn't think it's big. So what did they do for them to receive a punishment in the grave? أَمَّا الْأَوَّلِ, as for the first, he goes with namima. He goes around people and just spoil relationships. He passes on words from here to there. He just messes around communities because of his actions. The second, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, كان لا يستبرئ من بوله, لا يستنزه من بوله, لا يستتر من بوله. Those three, these are three authentic wording of the hadith. لا يستتر, يستبرئ, and the third is what? What is the third? يستنزه. What is the difference between those three? Because that is the first mistake a lot of us do. يستنزه, that he doesn't make sure that his private area is clear of the urine. Brothers and sisters in Islam, this is an extremely serious matter. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned that the majority of the people who get punished in the grave due to al-bawl, because of urine, because they don't clean themselves. They have issue with drops of urine, and they do not make sure. But again, I don't want to invite you here to reach al-waswas, you know, because we have some brothers also who go to the extreme when it comes to this subject. He would spend an hour in the bathroom, you know, making sure that, no, there are ways to go about that, all right? First of all, you have to clean the private part with water, yastabri, or with yastanzi, with water, with rak, with toilet papers, whatever you want to use there. You remove the impurity from that part. Now, if there are drops of water that may land on your private underwear, that area, at least sprinkle water on it. put some water in there. So you make sure that this area is clean. The third wording, by the way, which is very interesting, كَانَ لَا يَسْتَتِرُ. You know, we live in the West here, and subhanAllah, when we see non-Muslims going into bathrooms, they don't care about whether you see their private parts or not. Muslims should not do that. You're not supposed to expose your private parts to anybody. And you're not supposed to look at other people's private parts. And this is what is meant, لَا يَسْتَتِر. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he would go and relieve himself, he would what? Walk far out, distant himself. He would distance himself from everybody. And he would actually hide away. So the first area, brothers and sisters in Islam, the first mistake which you must pay attention to, and subhanAllah, I'm amazed at Abi Darda when he explained al-amana to be that act. Inna aradna al-amana alas. You know what Abu Darda said? Al-amana, that you're in the bathroom and you believe that Allah sees what you're doing and you're keen on cleaning yourself well, because this is amana. Why this is important? Huh? Because you're going to go pray. Now, the salah could be invalid because of negligence in this area. That's why you have to pay attention to it. Your salah that you're about to, everything that you're going to do after that is really nullified because of the fact that you didn't pay attention to your tahara of the body, tahara of the clothes, and later on the tahara of the place that you're about to pray. So this is number one. Pay attention to this. ويحضرني يا إخوة قول الله تعالى في سورة التوبة فيه رجال يحبون أن يتطهروا. You know, this verse was revealed regarding Masjid Qiba based on Hadith Abdullah ibn Abbas and others, more than أهل التفسير يعني. ذكروا that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised the people of Qiba. When he compared subhanahu wa ta'ala Masjid Dirar, the masjid which the hypocrites built to scheme and plot against Muslims, when they compared this masjid to this masjid. لَمَسْجِدٌ أُسِّسَ عَلَى التَّقْوَى مِنْ أَوَّلِ يَوْمٍ أَحَقُّ أَنْ تَقُومَ فِيهِ فيه رجال يحبون أن يتطهروا والله يحب المطهرين. Based on Hadith Abdullah ibn Abbas, the Prophet asked them. The Hadith في صحيح ابن خزيمة. The word of ابن خزيمة is authentic. The Prophet asked them, "What do you do?" They said, "We insist in using water to clean, to remove the impurity. Although you may use other items like rocks, like paper towel, you can do that, but they would insist actually on washing their private parts with water." The Prophet said, "Dakahu, this is it." This is the first area that you with the tahara. When you enter the bathroom, also following the etiquettes of the bathroom when you enter, what should you say? What should you say? اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الخبث والخبائث. And you should enter with the right or the left? The left, right? Now, what should you, when you're done basically cleaning yourself? And I love to mention that in context of the conversation Salman the Persian had with a magian, I think was a Jew or a magian, one of the two. دينكم يعلمكم كل شيء حتى القراءة. الحديث صحيح الإمام مسلم. Your religion teaches you everything, even how to go to the bathroom. قراءة is how to relieve yourself. What kind of religion is that? What kind of religion is that? Look at Salman. Salman الفارسي, the Persian. He was proud. Yes. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that we shouldn't use our right to clean our private areas. We should use our left, and we should at least use rocks three times. And this is, by the way, a mistake many Muslims do not pay attention to. That when you remove impurities from your private parts using other than water, you have to use it thrice, three times minimum. You got that? That's a mistake. Some Muslims, there's just one time and that, no. Minimum three times you have to do that. That's based on Hadith Salman right here. He told us not to use the right hand. Use what? The left hand, and at least three times. But what if you use three times and you still have impurities? Go on. Until what? It's completely removed. But the minimum is what? Three times. So this is the bathroom. Yeah. Also, yani, if you're doing it in an open area, make sure that you're not facing the Qibla, nor you're back to the Qibla. That's Hadith Abi Ayyub and Ibn Umar. Yani Ibn Umar saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he went up to the house, the roof of the house. He saw the Prophet facing the Qibla. So the scholars made this exclusive to relieving yourself out in the open, then you shouldn't be facing the Qibla. And we know Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, radiallahu anhu, he said, when we went to Sham, that also shows you that you should also strive not to face the Qibla even in a closed area. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari said, when we went to Sham, we found them having their bathrooms facing the Qibla. So we would sit to relieve ourselves, but with what? Swerve. With what? Take an angle. Although, so look at that. Look at Iqwa. This is something that is so important, that shows you that you care about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command. You care about following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the area of the bathroom. Alhamdulillah, Allah has guided you that you went to the bathroom, you relieved yourself, you cleaned the impurities from your body parts, from your clothes. Now it's time to make wudu. A common mistake, and I'm sure not in Green Lane, may Allah reward the brothers here for their continuous education of the community, is articulating the intention before making wudu. Unheard of. Nawaitul wudu. Can you do that? That you say what? The niyyah with your tongue. La. In niyyah where? The niyyah is where? I mean, our sheikh did this in front of us, you know. Okay, brothers, I intend to move the phone from this place to this place. I intend to move it back. What is that? Yes. Niyyah is something that is in the heart between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where you resolve to do something. That's it. An-niyyatu hiya عزم القلب على فعل الشيء. That you resolve in your heart to do something. That's it. Just the thought. Okay, I'm going to go make wudu. Your heart. You're walking to the washing area, right? To the washing area. You're going to make wudu. That's the need. But you don't have to say, I intend to make wudu. Also, another mistake that many Muslims assume, that I'm making wudu for dhuhr. Right? I'm making wudu for salatul dhuhr. La. When you make wudu, you're making wudu for what? Just to be in the state of purity. To recite the Quran, if you want to do dhikr with it, if you want to, pray nawafil. As long as you are in that state, you can pray actually the five daily prayers. There is no harm in this. You can actually do that. For there is no wudu, there is no certain wudu exclusive for a certain salah. Wudu is wudu. The other thing, brothers and sisters in Islam, which is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned, إسباغ الوضوء على المكاره. A lot of us sometimes, you know, and I'm going to make this relevant to our lifestyle here in the West, that you would be working and, you know, wearing these nice clothes and, the, you know, maybe suit and tie. And this will create a lot of discomfort for you, a lot of discomfort that you have to untie this, unbutton this, and do this. You need to understand there is a tremendous amount of reward in this. When you do it, don't be uptight. Don't be upset. Don't be upset. Don't be uptight. The Sahaba used, Radwanullahi alayhim, they used to wash themselves with water that is extremely cold in the winter. They didn't have heated water like we do. So this is our, you know, challenge, that you have to do this in that environment. But remember, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that إسباغ الوضوء على المكاره, that you strive to perfect your wudu despite the dislikes that you may have as you're about to pursue that. And remember, you know, subhanallah, what is the one thing is going to give you distinction on the Day of Judgment? Give you a different look than anyone else. What? Wudu. How Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recognize you on the Day of Judgment? You know Hadith Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu, when he went to the al-Baqi', the cemetery, then he said, I can't wait till I see my ahbab, my beloved. They said, we thought, Ya Rasul, the companion said, we thought we are your beloved. He said, no, you're my companions, but my beloved are those who will come after me. They never seen me, and they will believe and follow me. How will you recognize them, O Rasulullah, on the Day of Judgment? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Atharul wudu. Imagine these body parts will shine on the Day of Judgment. You will shine, illuminate. That's how Rasulullah is going to recognize you. The radiance of wudu will reach as far as what? As far as the water goes. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, هذا فعل الصحابي, we may do it. He used to what? Add. He want to increase that ghurra. He want to increase that radiance. So you really have to look at the wudu to be what? A very special act of worship. Not just, you know, you're trying to wash up and uptight about that. That is an act of worship. There is more than one hadith that your sins come down with every drop of water. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam giving you this beautiful similitude, he said, imagine you have a river in front of your house. Every day you jump in it and bathe 5 times. Do you think any of the stains or any of the dirt will be left on your body? هل يبقى من درنه شيء? No. That's what the wudu does for you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hadith Umar, he says, whoever makes wudu, then he says, after he makes wudu, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ غُفِرَ ذَنْبُهُ. This is one wording. If he adds the wording of Imam al-Tirmidhi, اللهم اجعلني من التوابين واجعلني من المتطهرين. O Allah, count me amongst those who purify themselves and those who repent often. The 8 gates of Jannah will be open for you. أَيُّ فَضْلٍ هَذَا. What other honor than this? This is an act of worship. You have to look at it this way, brothers and sisters in Islam. And that's why you have to perfect it. You have to make it the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it. Hadith, ya ikhwa, I love this hadith. Hadith Thawban, istaqimu wa lan tuhsu. Hadith fi sunan Abi Dawood, sahahu al-shaykh al-Albani fi sahih Abi Dawood fi silsila al-sahiha. Istaqimu wa lan tuhsu. Be upright, be firm, be straightforward, be steadfast. And if you want things that can help you to be steadfast, you will not count them. Many, many of them. You can even finish your life doing them. But here is one thing which can help you stay steadfast. استقيموا ولن تحصوا واعلموا أن خير أعمالكم الصلاة. And be informed that the best act of worship which can keep you steadfast is a salah. Here it is. Here is موضوع الشاهد. Here is the point of reference. ولا يحافظ على الوضوء إلا مؤمن. And only a believer will keep up with wudu. The scholars, المحدثين said the quality, that is one meaning, or maintaining the statement of wudu. Always. You lose your wudu, you go and make wudu. Always. طيب, let's, inshallah, I don't know how long I still have. We'll do only 10 minutes, inshallah, because, you know, just. Let's take some mistakes when it comes to the wudu. The first mistake that a lot of Muslims may not pay attention to is they do not wash this bones, the hands, this part, before they make wudu. Of course, coming out of the bathroom, you know, you had some exchange with your private area, so obviously you should begin with what? With that. But here is the mistake. If some brothers would actually do this, then when they wash their hands, they don't start from here. They actually leave that area, and that's a mistake. You see, when you wash your hand, this is part of the hand. You have to do that. How many times? That's it? Three, that's it? Maximum three. You could do it one time. You could do it two times. You could do it three times. Right? So actually, you can wash the body parts only what? One time, and your wudu is what? It's valid. You guys are looking at me like I'm bringing a new religion here. You didn't hear that before or something? Salaam alaykum. I mean, this is an authentic hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made wudu and he washed only one time. I'm not making up, guys. You know, I'm not going to do that. And if I'm making it up, then I'm sorry. You know, I'm wrong. You could do also two times. Why such legislation is important? You know, subhanAllah, I found it very practical sometimes, you know, when you are in the airplane trying to make wudu in that small, tiny bathroom where they have that faucet that much. Now, you don't have to do three times, just one time, because, you know, because you're going to mess up the whole area. Now you're going to have to bring napkin and clean, and, you know, because you don't want to lose the bathroom messy, you know, for the people. So one time is enough. Also, if you're in the desert, and you don't have enough water, and you possibly be making wudu from drinking water, why would you do three times when you need that water for drinking? So there are some situations where you actually may need to implement that sunnah, and there is nothing wrong with that. But in any rate, minimum is what? One time. But you may do it twice, thrice. But more than that is what? Bid'ah. Bid'ah. That's it. Another famous mistake in the Ummah, quite frankly, is when we do the istinshaq wal madmada. A lot of the brothers separate the rinsing of the mouth from the nose. So we do this one time, two times, three times, then what? One time, two times. No. It's supposed to be what? Together. Not six times. You see, you do it six times because you separated what? The mouth from the nose. No, the Prophet ﷺ used to do what? The mouth and the nose at the same time. I think there is a word, concurrently, something like that, right? Huh? Here it is. So you rinse the mouth, and also another thing that the Prophet ﷺ used to do, وَبَالِغْ فِي الْإِسْتِنْشَاقِ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ صَائِمًا. Just don't do like that. Some people just do like that. No, you're supposed to get these things out of there. There are things out there, right? What do you guys call them in England? We call them boogers in America. These things have to come out. You know, that dirt inside. وَبَالِغْ فِي الْإِسْتِنْشَاقِ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ صَائِمًا. Actually, exaggerate. Overdo it regarding istinshaq unless you are what? You are fasting. So this is something that a lot of Muslims also don't pay attention to because, you know, they end up separating those two. Obviously, a lot of us sometimes may not pay attention to the body parts and the fact that the water reaches. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know in one hadith that he saw a companion who performed wudu and he left what? That much on his ankle, right? He actually asked one of his companions, وَيْلٌ لِلْأَعْقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ وَيْلٌ لِلْأَعْقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ. Woo to these places from the hellfire. So you gotta make sure that the water reaches this area, inshallah. Inshallah, I'm sure the brothers and the sisters, the brothers who will come and take that seat in the future will talk more to you about some of these common mistakes when it comes to tahara. But so that at least I touched on all elements of tahara. We have ghusl, and alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided me that I wrote an entire book called Pray the Prophet's Way. Let's Pray the Prophet's Way. It's available for free on my website, where alhamdulillah, I talked about a lot of the issues when it comes to wudu and tahara. But the last thing, so that I touched on the bathroom, on wudu, and finally on ghusl, is it is a must that you have an intention before you take ghusl, that you're not just refreshing yourself, you're not just washing yourself. This ghusl that you're making is for the purpose of moving from the state of or to the state of tahara, because sometimes we may be making ghusl, for example, for Jum'ah, not necessarily to uplift a state of ritual impurity. جزاكم الله خيرا وأحسن الله إليكم. And wallahi, we enjoy our stay here with your community. May Allah reward Qari' Zakaullah for his hospitality and taking a very good care of us. I enjoyed that workshop teaching one of my books on tafsir, The Roadmap to Al-Baqarah and Al Imran. And mashallah, the community here started glass. You should be actually joining these classes in the weekend. I think it's time, brothers and sisters in Islam, that we reconnect ourselves with the Quran, with the revelation. And when I say the Quran, I mean the Quran and Sunnah, you know. But, you know, the Quran should be the point here. And mashallah, I learned today that next month they're going to have Surah An-Nur, next week or something. There is a engage in learning the religion, inshallah. جزاكم الله خيرا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والحمد لله رب العالمين.
Assalamu alaikum. Is there Brother A. Muhammad Yasin?